Invite you to turn with us to the book of Mark and the 7th chapter.
Book of Mark and the 7th chapter is where we'll be for tonight, and preach to you for a few minutes what God has given to me for this afternoon, and probably won't be before you long, but we'll just give you what we've got and let you get home, okay? Mark chapter number 7, if you want to stand and stretch your legs, I'll invite you to do that now. And we'll begin reading in verse number 24 and read down through verse number 30. Mark chapter 7, verse 24, down through verse number 30. The Bible says, "And from thence he arose and went to the border of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into a house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. And the woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. And she answered and said to him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. For he said unto her, For this saying, Go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil was gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed." Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be together this afternoon. Thank you, Lord, for the men and women that have made the effort to be here tonight, those that maybe will listen sometime this week through the way of the internet. God bless them and help them. Lord, let this message be a blessing, we pray in Jesus' name. And amen. You can be seated. Last Sunday night, we began looking at the first part of the book of Mark. I guess it was the Sunday night before. We began looking at the first part of this 7th chapter of the Gospel of Mark. And in the beginning of this chapter, you might remember that Jesus gives a stirring message regarding a strange question. The Pharisees come to Jesus in chapter 7 and accuse him and his disciple of sin and wrongdoing because the disciples had failed to wash their hands before they ate. You may remember that. And I preached on when tradition takes the place of truth. And in response to that message, Jesus teaches his followers a simple but powerful truth. The truth was this: it is not what goes into a man that defiles him as much as what comes out of a man. Jesus tells them that what they eat has no influence on their spirituality. Instead, it was the hidden things of the heart, the hidden matters of the heart, that really determined and really were an evidence of spirituality in a person's life. Jesus said things come out of a man like evil thoughts and murder and adultery and fornication and theft and anger and pride and foolishness and covetousness. And Jesus said, those things tell you really what's in a man's heart, not so much what he puts in his mouth. Now, you and I can, and I'll say this and I'll get on with it, but you and I can look good on the outside and not be good on the inside. Amen? Let me say something, and I hope this makes sense. What's on the outside does not affect what's on the inside, okay? What you wear, how you comb your hair, you know, all those things, they don't affect who you are on the inside. But what's on the inside will affect what's on the outside. Amen? Yeah, that's right. I think we spend all of our time trying to fix people's outer man, where if we fix the inner man, it'd just take care of the rest of that business. After Jesus finishes teaching the lesson in this chapter, he ends the chapter by performing two miracles. There's the healing of the Syrophoenician woman's daughter, and then at the end of the chapter, there's the story of the healing of a deaf man. Can I share a secret with you? I almost skipped these last two miracles. I really wanted to get to chapter 8, and so I almost skipped these two. My plan was just to move right on from chapter 7 to chapter 8. But it seemed like the more I thought about it, the more the week went on, the more the Lord would not let me do that. there's just something about the faith of this Syrophoenician woman in Mark chapter 7 that I just love. There's something about her story that I feel like I've got to share tonight. I've got to give it to you tonight. And I want to preach on this Syrophoenician woman and the miracle that takes place in her life. Here is a woman that is in the worst condition of her life. She comes to the Lord for help. And when she gets there, things don't go like she thought they would go. Yet this woman maintains a miraculous faith and a miracle takes place in her life. I want to preach tonight on the thought, having faith when it's hard to have faith. Having faith when it's hard to have faith. I want to show you three things out of these verses we just read and we'll get out of here. Number one, I want you to see the terrible circumstances. I want you to see the terrible circumstances. Look at verse 24. The Bible says, "And from thence he arose and went into the border of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered into a house and would have no man know it. But he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. And the woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation. And she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter." After Jesus teaching in Mark chapter 7, he does something that he does not do often. Jesus leaves the land of Palestine and he goes into the Gentile territory of Tyre and Sidon. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, this is the only time in the Gospels that you read that Jesus left the land of Palestine. Verse 24, he did it for the purpose of having some downtime. The Bible says in verse 24, he went to Tyre and Sidon and he would have no man to know it. He wanted to rest. He wanted to recuperate. He figured if he went to Gentile territory, they maybe wouldn't have heard about him as much there. There would not be the press and the throng of people. So he could go there and rest. But when he got to the Gentile territory of Tyre and Sidon, what normally happened did happen. Somebody heard about him and somebody comes for help. According to our text, this woman that comes for help has a daughter that is possessed by a demon. Can you imagine the pain that this woman is going through? Her daughter is suffering. Undoubtedly, her home is suffering. And her life is in a mess. If you're a parent in this room, you know what I'm about to say is true. It is much easier for you to go through something than to watch your children go through something. Would you not agree with me that if you've had young children, there have been times that you have sit next to their bed and you have saw them sick, maybe with a fever, an upset stomach, maybe something wrong in their life, and they are sick, and you have thought to yourself, if I could take this away from them and I could be the one that was sick, I would trade with them just like that. You've thought that, haven't you? Maybe your children are going through something emotionally. And you see them emotionally struggling with this, maybe a bully at school or maybe something that they're dealing with some of their peers or some of their friends. And you think, if I could take this, I would gladly take that emotional hurt. I'm still grow up and they start making decisions. And those decisions are hard. I think to myself, if I could make that decision for them. If I could, and you know, you try to give them advice and you try to help them, but you're really thinking, if I could just make that decision for them. I'm sure that this woman was devastated. This woman was devastated because this was her daughter that was possessed with the devil. And she comes to Jesus in her brokenness. I got to noticing something this week. You talk about a woman in a bad shape. When this woman comes to Jesus, she has everything against her. Her nationality is against her. This woman was a Syrophoenician. Grandpa, that means she was a Gentile. She was a Gentile and Jesus was a Jew. And the Jews and the Gentiles didn't have any dealings with one another. In fact, Jesus makes it clear that he's sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. she's a Gentile. Her nationality is against her. Her gender is against her. She is a woman. The reality is, in this day, to be a woman meant that you were not on the same level as a man. In fact, I submit to you, one of the greatest things that ever happened for women was the gospel of Jesus Christ, because the gospel said there is neither Jew nor Gentile, rich or free, bond or poor, male or female. It elevated women. But this was a woman, and her gender was against her. In fact, I think I'm right on this, Brother Tom. I might be wrong. But you take the miracles that Christ performed in your Bible, and you begin to count how many miracles Jesus performed for women in all those miracles, the ones that are recorded anyways. There's only 4 recorded times that Jesus ever did a miracle. Her gender was against her. Satan was against her. This woman had a daughter with a devil living inside of her. The forces of hell were out to get her. Grandpa, the disciples were against her. We don't read this in Mark, but if you read the same account in the book of Matthew, you'll discover that when this woman comes to Jesus, Jesus doesn't immediately answer her right away. And so you know what the disciples do? They try to push her away. They try to get her away. They try to shoo her away. These guys were really good at trying to, you know, shoo off people that they did not think they wanted to minister to. People they did not feel like was worthy of their ministry. Won't you just move on? He wasn't. But it even seemed like Jesus was against her. According to Matthew, this woman falls at the feet of Jesus Christ and says, "Jesus, my daughter's possessed with a devil. Can you do something?" And you know what Matthew says? Matthew says, "And he answered her not a word." Ignored her. And when he does answer her, he says, "It's not meet for me to take bread and give it to the dogs. I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And she's a Gentile. If anybody ever had the deck stacked against him, it was her. I said this a moment ago. I'll say it again. She had the odds against her. Therefore, there is no logical reason why Jesus should help her. There is no logical reason why her situation would ever be any better. There's no logical reason that she could have any faith that things are going to change. But this woman simply maintains her faith, and she believes through all of it, although all the odds are against her, she continuously has faith and believes Jesus will do something in her life. Allow me to say that there are going to be times in your life that it does not make sense to have faith. But can I encourage you, just keep on having faith. You say, "Well, the odds are against me." Just believe in Jesus. You said it looks dark. Just believe in Jesus. Just keep having faith when it doesn't make sense to have faith. Amen. That's right. It may seem like that loved one will never get saved, but just keep on praying for him. It may seem like that child will never straighten out, but just keep on praying. It may seem like there's no way that health can improve, but just keep on praying. It may seem like there's no way your finances will ever change, but just keep on praying. Just pray, and pray like this woman did. Pray with faith and say, "Although it doesn't make sense, God, I'm calling on you again because I believe you can do what I'm asking you to do." Amen. Have faith when it doesn't make sense to have faith. Let me ask you something. You thought it made sense to have faith that day that, who was it? Was it Elisha? Rolled up into town. It may have been Elijah. It's one of them. Rolls into town. I believe it's Elijah. And he meets that widow woman. And she's gathering up those couple sticks to make that one final cake. And they're going home and eating it and dying. You remember that story, don't you? And the man of God said, "Well, I tell you what, do." God said, "Grab me a glass of water and bake me a cake first." And she said, "Man of God, you understand this is it. We're going to eat it. We're going to die. You understand that, right?" And he said, "Yes, ma'am, I do." But God said, "Get me a glass of water, bake me a cake first, and let him worry about the rest of it." It did not make sense for her to have faith in that situation. But you know what she did? She believed God. She believed God's man. She went home, made him a cake. And for many days, she went back to that empty meal barrel. And there was just enough meal for another cake and another day. And they made it one more day. And they made it another day. And it didn't make sense to have faith. But they just went on believing anyways. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you will go through. But believe him, even though it doesn't make sense. I see the terrible circumstances. Number two, not only do I see the terrible circumstances, I see the touching cry. I see the touching cry. Verse number 26 says, "And the woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter." According to Mark, when this woman comes to the Lord, she cries out that he would cast out the devil that was in her daughter. Now, Mark does not give us the actual words that this woman spoke. He only tells us that she cried unto the Lord. But Matthew, on the other hand, does give us the words. You can read this later, but I'll read it in your company. Matthew 15:22. The Bible says in Matthew 15:22, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." Notice that when she comes to Jesus, she cries out something like this: "O thou son of David." That was a Jewish title. And he was truly the son of David. He was the rightful heir to the throne of David. The only problem with that is that this was a Jewish title and she was a Gentile. She had no claim to that title. She had no claim to those promises. Matthew 15:24, "And he answered and said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." I'm sure that when she prayed, she thought she was praying the right way. She believed the fancy words and the big title would win her favor with God. But it had just the opposite effect. She said, "O thou son of David." And when she said, "Thou son of David," it's almost like he turned and he looked at his disciples and said, "I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." She's crying on the son of David. And I'm a Jew ministering to the Jews. Reminds me of what Jesus said in Matthew 6:5. Jesus said, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogue and in the corners of the streets, for they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." This woman prayed with her big words and her fancy title and nothing. And so she prays again, Matthew 15:25. "Then came she and worshiped him and said, Lord, help me." Can I say to somebody, maybe that's the way we ought to be praying? I don't know if it happened this way. But I can see her rush to Jesus the first time and she thinks she's got it figured out. "O thou son of David," and nothing. And if this would have been most of us, we would have given up and we would have went home. "I can't believe he ignored me. I can't believe." But she doesn't. She just stays there at his feet. The Bible says she does something interesting. She worships. That's not my message for tonight, but can I say that sometimes in the darkest hours of your life, the greatest things you can do is worship God. Find something to praise him for. But she worships him, and then I can see her down at his feet. She probably has tears in her eyes. Her home is broken. Her daughter is sick. She has tears in her eyes. And I can hear as she whispers under her breath, "Lord, help me." There's no fancy titles, and there's no big prayers. It's just three words from a heart of a broken-hearted mother. Three words choking, coming out from her tears, from her sobbing. Just, Lord, please help me. This reminds me of the way that Peter prayed in Matthew 14. He's out on the water and he gets his eyes off Jesus and starts to sink. And he doesn't have time for the big prayer. All he can say is, Lord, save me. Now understand what I'm about to say. There is nothing wrong with you laying out your needs before the Lord. Hezekiah did it in the book of 2 Kings chapter number 19. He took that letter and he laid it out there for the Lord to read it. I like it. He just said, Lord, here's the letter I got. You might want to take a look at this. There's nothing wrong with laying it out. I've done that before. I've got down on the floor and laid my bills out on the floor and told God what I've got and what I've got to have. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But there are going to be times in your life where at your very best, the most that you can get out is, Lord, help me. And can I say that that is enough? That's enough. That's okay. Psalms 51:17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a contrite heart. Oh God, thou wilt not despise. God won't turn away that broken heart, that contrite spirit, that whispered voice that says, oh God, I've got to have you now. He will hear and he will answer that prayer. God sees your heart. God knows the sadness that's in your soul. I want you to see this last of all, and I'll close. Number three, I want you to see the triumphant conclusion. The triumphant conclusion. Verse 27. And Jesus said to her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto dogs. And he answered and said to him, and she answered and said to him, yes, Lord. Yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. For he said to her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil has gone out of thy daughter. It seems that when this woman cried, Lord, help me, Jesus spoke to her for the very first time. When he does, he says something that most of us would take as strange. We would take it as a negative comment, but this woman does not take it as a negative comment at all. Jesus says, let the children first be filled. It's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Jesus, let me say this, is not calling this woman a dog. The Jews referred to the Gentiles as dogs, but that's not what he's saying. Jesus is simply stating that his ministry was to the Jew first. He tells her that the children, or the Jews, have to be filled with the bread before the dogs can be filled. And she grabbed onto that statement in faith. And instead of taking it as a negative comment, she said, yes, truth, Lord. But the dogs eat from the crumbs. And all I'm asking for is a crumb. I've got a dog at home. I'll call her a puppy. The word translated dog in this verse actually means little puppy is what it means. I've got a dog at home, and Brother James, I'll go into the kitchen, and she's got like sonar ears. And if I go into the kitchen and I open the cupboard and I get a bag of potato chips, she knows the sound of the rustling of the bag. And no matter where she's at in the house and what she's doing, and she comes to the kitchen, and she just sits there and looks at me. And I'll be eating my chips, and she's just sitting there looking at me. And you know what happens after a while? I can't take it anymore. And I take one of those chips and I throw it, and she gets one too. Amen. Jesus said, I've got to feed the children first. She said, that's okay. She was okay with her position because she knew his power. And she said, I'm okay. I'm okay being one of the little puppies underneath the table, because I know every once in a while you're going to drop a crumb, and all I'm looking for is a crumb. And if I could just get a crumb, my daughter could be healed. I could just get a little bit of what you've got, Jesus. Oh, yeah. She knew her place, but she knew his power. She believed he could help. And only two times in all of your Bible does Jesus ever comment on somebody's faith. And one of them is a Syrophoenician Gentile woman that was an outcast, an outsider with everything against her, who everybody did look at as a dog. And Jesus saw her faith and he marveled at her. And he'd come to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but that Gentile got a miracle that day. Jesus said to her, verse 28, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Because she believed, Jesus did for her what she asked him to do. Verse 30, when she came to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed. I guess I'm trying to say tonight, have faith. Maybe when it doesn't make sense to have faith. I thought about that story we read, preached from a few weeks ago. The story of Jairus. He had a daughter too. You remember that? He had a daughter that was sick and he came to Jesus. Jesus agreed to go to his house and heal his daughter. But on the way to his house, the procession gets interrupted because there's a woman with an issue of blood. And she touches Jesus. Jesus stops. He talks to her. By the time all that's done, somebody comes to Jairus and says, Sir, don't trouble the master any longer. We just got word that your daughter, she's dead. And when news comes that his daughter is dead, Jesus looks at Jairus in Mark 5:36, and he says this to him, Be not afraid, only believe. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, have faith, even though it doesn't make sense to have faith. And he said, okay, Lord. And they went to the house. You know the story. Jesus touches the daughter. He brings her back to life. And a miracle is done in his home that day. Sometimes it seems like there's no hope. Things will never change. And we just accept the fact that it'll just always have to be the same. Whether it's our finances or our marriage, our children, our spouse, whatever. We don't know if the Lord can help, but the Lord can help. Can I show you something? And I'm out of here. I love this. In the last two miracles that are performed in the book of Mark chapter 7, there were two people that needed something done in their life. And they come to Jesus about it. And neither one of them heard from the Lord. But they kept having faith. It didn't make sense, but they kept having faith. There's this woman. She asked Jesus to heal her daughter, and Jesus did not answer her. She prayed, and no answer came. In the end of Mark chapter 7, there's a deaf man. He's deaf and dumb, the Bible says. And the Bible says when Jesus sees him, he leads him outside of the city. And Jesus does something very strange. The Bible says that Jesus touches his ear, and then he touches his tongue. You see, it wouldn't have done any good for Jesus to say, you got to have faith and believe. He couldn't have heard Jesus say it. Jesus could have prayed a great prayer, but he wouldn't have heard it. He was deaf and he was dumb. So Jesus, you know what he did? I'm going to take care of this. I'm going to take care of that. He never heard the Lord, but he just had faith, and even though he never heard anything. You may not be hearing anything. It may not make sense to have faith, but just have faith. Amen. I wonder, Brother Scott, you get us a song. We'll close with a word of invitation. If you've got something you need to pray about tonight, we'll open these altars up. You can come pray if you want to. Maybe some folks will gather around you and help you pray. But if you've got a need tonight, you're welcome to come pray.